That's true. Good morning. So we're going to begin this session today with a short period of meditation. So the teachings of the Buddha in their entirety, I think, can most accurately be represented as a comprehensive system of education. So education of action, speech, and the mind. Now within that education process, the education of the heart or the mind begins with two main themes. The first theme is developing the skills to protect the mind from unwholesome or negative mental states. And secondly, on the occasions where that's not possible, then to deal skillfully and effectively with negative mental states that have arisen. Second theme is to find ways of instilling, introducing into the mind wholesome or positive mental states. And secondly, to learn how to take care of those positive mental states, to stabilize them and to bring them to maturity. Now, when that training of the heart reaches a certain critical level, then the mind reaches a state called kamanio, or flex is it that meaning of that word flexible or ready for work, meaning ready for the work of wisdom. So wisdom meaning a direct examination of the nature of body and mind. So before that profound exploration of the nature of body and mind, which will uproot our deeply held assumptions and misperceptions, then the mind needs to be trained, and in particular, in the way that it deals with positive and negative mental states. Now, this training of the heart can be also divided into two areas. The first is what we call formal training of the heart, and then the informal training of the heart. So the informal training of the heart is the practice throughout the day, wherever we may be, whether we're alone or with others at home or at work. There needs to be this effort being put forth in appropriate ways. But the success with which that informal training or education of the heart in daily life will take place is very much conditioned by the time and effort we're willing to put into the formal training of the heart. Now, this formal training of the heart is what's generally referred to as meditation. So before we start this meditation session, I just want to give you like a context for the meditation process, because too often it is taken out, excuse me, taken out of context, and often can seem like some kind of like a wish-fulfilling gem or a magic bullet or something which will solve everyone's problems, and which that's certainly not the case if the other elements of this education are not given sufficient attention. So in the formal meditation practice, why we call it formal is that we set things up in the way most conducive to the smooth and successful development of the practice. In the daily life, we have little control over our environment and the people around us and so on. But in the formal meditation, then we look for a place which is, as far as is possible, secluded from sense impressions, secluded from disturbing sounds and sights and so on. So this hall is quite a conducive environment. Seems to be relatively soundproof, and there are no distractions. So the next thing to address is the physical body and the posture of the body. And although from before the time of the Buddha, the cross-legged posture has been the posture of choice for meditators because it provides the body with a stable triangular base and helps to keep the back straight and to provide a posture in which you can sit for long times without danger to one's health. Now, I would say that's assuming that, you know, you do or you can change the posture slightly and not pushing it too far. But generally, if you're an adept meditator, it's possible to sit in a cross-legged posture for some hours without great discomfort. But the cross-legged posture is not absolutely necessary. But the two elements of posture which should be given greatest importance wherever you sit, whether it's on the floor or on a chair, are the back and the general stillness of the posture. So it's not difficult to see that when the back is slumped, then it brings on dull mental states. So the back has a very immediate and obvious effect on the meditation. For this reason, we sit with our backs straight, but not rigidly straight. If the body is too stiff, then the breathing process will be affected and can easily lead to strains within the body which inhibit the practice of meditation. So I'd like you all to please sit straight with a straight back and close your eyes so as to cut off unnecessary information coming in through your eyes. If you do find yourself particularly sleepy or dull, it is okay to open the eyes slightly and just rest your gaze very softly without staring just down in front of you. But generally, we keep our eyes closed. Now, it's important to remind ourselves here that meditation is not the application of a particular technique in order to get a particular result. What we are seeking to do is to develop many very useful life skills. And returning to the point I made a moment ago, the first challenge is to see if we can sustain attention on an object in such a way that negative, unwholesome mental states cannot envelop the mind. So we find that if we try too hard, or we force the mind too much, then we won't be successful. If we're too relaxed about it, then the mind will become dull or wander off. So this is the first kind of insight that we have, or this first skill that we realize is necessary to develop in meditation. That's to find the necessary balance between effort and relaxation. So it's a matter of trial and effort. And even if you find that there is, you're happy with that balance of effort and relaxation, then as the meditation proceeds, you will find a need to constantly be tweaking that, maybe slightly increasing the effort or slightly increasing the relaxation. And this is why the sense of wakefulness and alertness is absolutely fundamental to Buddhist meditation. You have to be sharp enough to make the necessary adjustments and tweaks to your effort as the meditation proceeds. Now, our usual relationship to mental states is probably most analogous to addiction. And so when we ask our mind to focus or to sustain attention on one particular object, then there tends to be a lot of resistance in the mind. And when that occurs, then please don't become discouraged or think that you haven't got what it takes to be a meditator. This is absolutely normal for everyone. And it's impermanent. It changes. What you need is a patient, steady effort to keep returning to the meditation object every time that the mind wanders off and gets lost. So the focus of attention today will be the breath. The breath is probably the most popular meditation object in the Buddhist tradition for many reasons. But to begin with, we may observe that the breath is basically uninteresting. It's not something that we ever normally would turn our minds towards, other than in a case where we are short of breath or there's some problem with the breathing. But that very bland, uninteresting nature is itself the reason why it's such a good meditation object, because there's nothing in the breath which will pull you towards it and allow you just to coast along with the breath. You will only be able to stay with the breath with this wise, balanced, appropriate effort. The moment that you lose that clarity of mind and that consistency of effort, then your mind will fall away from the breath. Now, to be aware of the breath through the whole duration of the in-breath, the out-breath, is, as I say, very difficult. But we can begin very simply by being aware of all the sensations in the physical body which appear together with the breath. So before we focus on one particular point, such as the tip of the nose or the upper lip, we just gently introduce the mind to the breath in a very flexible kind of way. So please observe that as you breathe and the lungs expand, breathe in, then there are a whole pattern of sensations, some strong, many very subtle, but they can be recognized in the head, in the face, in the neck, the shoulders, the arms, the hands, the fingers, the chest, the abdomen, the back, all the way down from the base of the neck down to the coccyx, the buttocks, the hips, the thighs, the knees, calves, ankles, feet, toes. So as you breathe in, the lungs expand, and there is a pattern of sensations arising, passing away throughout the body. Simply being aware of those sensations, not visualizing them and not grasping onto them, but simply recognizing them. So this is a first step to developing the sense of the calm observer by observing the sensations throughout the breath, the body, that appear with the inhalation and those that appear with the exhalation. So notice just how basically pleasant that is. There's nothing, you don't have to force the breath. It's not you breathing. The body is just doing its job. It knows how to do this without us. It breathes in, it breathes out. So there's nothing for you to do right now, simply to be as aware, to develop this sense of clear-sighted, clear-minded, balanced awareness of sensations throughout the body that arise attendant upon the inhalation and attendant upon the exhalation. So when your mind becomes distracted, then recognizing distraction as distraction, you return to the object of the breathing and the sensations throughout the body. So already by practicing in this way, you're developing a new perspective on mental phenomena. You're being to you have your first inkling of what that means with wholesome or positive mental states, unwholesome negative mental states. You'll begin to be aware of the desires and fears, the agitation, the dullness, all these different moods and thoughts and fantasies that appear in the mind without just flowing along with them or identifying with them, but through this simple means of taking one particular object of mind, then you expose every other object of mind as an object of mind rather than who you are. So the next step is to now choose one point in the body to focus upon the sensation of the breath. Most meditators choose the area around the tip of the nose, or perhaps within the nostrils, or towards the upper lip, but finding that spot at which the sensation of breath is clearest and most comfortable. Now you're no longer paying attention to sensations throughout the body. Your focus is purely on that one point and trying to sustain that clarity of mind, that wakefulness, for the whole duration of an in-breath and the whole duration of an out-breath. So in this effort, or this study, cultivation of an effort which includes both that sort of determination, but also an appropriate amount of relaxation, then we can observe that as the body breathes in, there is already a physical element of effort involved. The exhalation involves a physical relaxation. For this reason, on the in-breath, we can emphasize the aspect of effort, mental effort, mental relaxation to complement the physical effort. And similarly, on the exhalation, we can emphasize the mental effort to complement the physical relaxation. Distraction and wandering of the mind will often take place towards the end of the exhalation. So that's an area to be particularly wary of, and to make sure there is a strong, clear awareness to prevent that happening. So to recap, in this short period of meditation, some of the things that we are seeking to learn, firstly, the relationship between posture and the ability to focus the mind. Secondly, the importance of finding a balance between effort and relaxation. Thirdly, to recognize that by taking a single object of for the mind to focus upon, it illuminates, reveals to us all of the other mental phenomena, thoughts, feelings, emotions that arise and pass away in the mind, as mental phenomena rather than as who we are. So although an initial meditation session may seem quite frustrating and difficult, if you switch from looking on it as something you do in order to get some result that you want, and understand it as a learning process and an opportunity to develop life skills, then the inspiration and the wish to carry on will arise much more strongly, I hope. So this is the end of this short meditation session, and please feel free to open your eyes, and we'll move on to the next part of the program.